Okay, let's try this again. Good evening, everybody. We just recorded for like 20 minutes. Well, I shouldn't say we recorded. We thought we were recording, and we were not. So
now we're halfway through.
Now, yeah, now we're done. So I hope everyone has a Merry Christmas. Okay, welcome to episode 80 of the Weekly Wind Down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacey, the new age old school mom.
I'm Stacey, the political princess.
I'm Bueno, the other friend.
Man, we had some good stuff there, too. All right, let's start. I am drinking Murphy Good. It's a Pinot Noir out of California. And the description on the back says, though Pinot Noir is unfailingly charismatic in the glass, which, can wine be charismatic? I don't think that's a thing.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
It can be a finicky devil out in the vineyard, like just a bunch of grapes running around making faces at people. And like, I don't know, what are they stealing handkerchiefs from people? Like, what are they doing? Only revealing its nuanced texture and brilliant flavors in very specific growing areas. We select fruit from these specific pockets where Pinot develops vibrant fruit character, bright acidity, and that plush, earthy underbelly that makes this wine so alluring and appealing. Okay, it's real fucking cocky for being a screw top is all I'm saying. Like, calm down, you're grown in
the Pinot out of the pocket,
and you grow your grapes in Santa Rosa. Like, just relax, just relax. I'm telling you, we need to make wine labels.
I'm on board.
Yeah, we'll do it. Wind down labels that say just like funny stuff on the back.
Yeah.
If you want us to send you one,
just be like, yeah, this isn't gonna be as good as Friday night, but it sure shit isn't a Monday. Done. Stace?
All right. I am drinking Chronic Cellars, and in honor of Bueno being on the podcast, it is called Sofa King Bueno. It's bottled in Paso Robles, and it is, all it says on the back is wishes in one hand, chronic in the other. So I'm not really sure what that's supposed to mean, but it's pretty fucking bueno.
See what you did there. That was clever. Yeah.
That wordplay.
Stacey, what surprise do you have for us this week?
Well, tonight I'm drinking my default. So when I don't have wine. Which I do have some red wine. I just got real bad acid reflux because I ate a lot of donuts today. So I am drinking the Sophia canned sparkling wine.
That's it. You don't get to give any more description. You're not taking up any more time. This is the eighth time you've drank it. Eighth time.
No, but I have this. Is seriously your eighth time drinking this?
No.
I don't know. It might be.
So good. I love it. Hold on. But I do have this.
She likes the Illuminati afterbirth of.
Wine enthusiast review I'd like to share with you, that it's extremely vigorous bubbles want to explode in your mouth. It doesn't say that. With the slightest swirl of the glass in this bottling, which is pretty solid for the price, aromas of candied strawberry, yeast, and cherry starburst. Look, I don't want anything to smell like yeast ever. They show on the nose while the palate carries flavors of stewed strawberry and a hint of yeast. So it smells like a lot of yeast, but then only tastes like a little bit of yeast.
Here's the thing that's funny, is they mentioned yeast twice. They mentioned
strawberry twice too, candied and stewed.
First I was like, maybe they were writing for something else and made a mistake, but no, they went ahead and did it twice. So they're literally trying to like drive the yeast point home, which is weird. When you're clearly marketing to women.
When you leave a bottle of red wine open in your fridge for like 3 days and you go,
who does that?
Try it and see if it's okay. And it's like yeasty. That's not a good thing.
I feel like women try to avoid things that are yeasty, like the plague.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I didn't read that review before trying this, because I'd have been like, nope. But it doesn't taste or smell the least bit yeasty or strawberry-ish to me.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus.
Smell it through the straw. That wasn't a good plan.
It went in your nose.
No, I just.
Bueno, what are you drinking? This is all the time we're spending on Stacey's wine.
Okay. Okay. I'm drinking Black Ink red wine, California. So reading the back,
because that's, I guess, wine. What we do. It's just red wine. Just red wine. Isn't that the best?
Hey, own your shit. Just own it.
Yeah. Yep.
It's exotic, decadent, and mysterious. Black Ink's exclusive red wine blend combines rich black cherry, ripe black plum flavors with mouth-watering finish. I feel like it's a good description.
Is your mouth watering?
I can't tell if it's from the alcohol or the wine.
Tried that before. Doesn't it have a really cute cork?
It does. It's got like the octopus.
Yeah, like tentacles on the. I remember that. Maybe that would be the drink.
Is your mouth watering from the yeast?
She said drunk it. It's not just me tonight that can't talk.
Yeah, what did you say? It's more funner?
She said it drunk it. Yeah, I said funnest.
I didn't say drunk it.
No, I think you said funner. You didn't say funnest. You said funner.
Oh, I did.
Yeah. And I'm only going to harp on you because you're such like a grammar Nazi that I'm like, oh, no, you didn't say funnest. You said funner.
Hurts my soul. Listen, I'm not perfect.
What?
I'm not infallible.
That's it. Get off. You're done here.
I never would have thought.
No, we had no idea.
It smells like dog farts so bad right now.
All right, we're going to workshop that for the wine labels, because that's not... That's
no, not the wine.
It's yeasty and smells like dog fart. Perfect.
Cute little puppy smells so bad.
All right.
She drank this yeasty wine.
Okay, so...
That was hilarious.
Yeah.
Yes, we are recording. We are. Okay. We have several topics to talk about tonight. We are going to talk about the government shutdown, and we are going to talk about that judge who struck down a provision of the ACA, which is clearly going to get overturned because he doesn't know what he's doing. But first, we are going to talk about the 7-year-old that died once her and her father gave themselves up at the border seeking asylum. Jacqueline Ami Rosemary Kahl Makin, 100% sure I'm not saying that right, and I apologize. She died of dehydration. Her brain was swollen and her liver had stopped functioning. It is worth mentioning to everyone, when you are dehydrated to that point, water alone is not going to help you. You do need to take in vitamins and minerals. I know that's a huge misconception. People hear dehydration and they're like, oh, I'll just drink water and I'll be fine. Please don't do that. That's you need more than that. You need to go to a hospital. They need to get stuff into your system really, really fast. So shortly after midnight on December 8th, she did pass away. And there's a lot of finger pointing going right now. And we don't want to jump to conclusions because this is an active investigation. The father is still being talked to. The Border Patrol agents are still being interviewed. Like, all of this stuff is still going on. I like to take the more positive look on it and think that no Border Patrol agent, regardless of what they think or feel, would let a 7-year-old die intentionally. So something... Adults failed this little girl. I don't think her dad would have walked her into a situation like that, or if he knew how sick she was, would have continued. But this is where we are right now. And there are different sides of it. They're saying that they didn't have food or water. The father is saying that she did have food and water, although it may not necessarily have been enough. 7-year-olds metabolize food and water at a different rate than adults do. Their bodies are growing. They're changing. They do need more. So I personally think what would have to be taking place in your personal life to bring your 7-year-old child hundreds of miles away from their other family and their home and try to make a better life for them, you have to be in a pretty dire situation. And from what I've read, their family was living on about $5 a day. They did take out a mortgage against their house in order to try and get him and his daughter to the United States. And now his family's actually hoping that he'll be able to stay so that they can actually pay back that loan so they don't lose their property. What do you guys think?
I brought this topic to the table because I read some of the comments, not a good idea on some of the more Republican sites about this topic. And a lot of people are saying, you know, well, it's the dad's fault for bringing a child on this journey without enough food and water, knowing, you know, what the consequences could be, thinking that he was just going to walk over the border and it was just going to be sunshine and rainbows, you know. And so they're blaming the dad and saying, this is not the fault of the U.S. It's not the fault of Border Patrol. It's the parents' fault for bringing these kids on this journey. And so I just really wanted to bring this up with you guys and hear your thoughts on it versus the not so nice things that I read.
Bueno, what about you?
For me, I think I'm thinking in my head that it's taken this little girl just for us to realize that this happens on a daily basis consistently. Like, the United States have put up borders strategically, and all across where there's not a border, it's actually desert, and multiple people die on a daily basis. And if you think that this is the one and only little girl out there that has ever died from dehydration, you're totally wrong. There's hundreds of people.
In Yuma County, Arizona alone, remains of more than 100 immigrants are found every year. And that's just the remains they find. And that's in one spot.
Yeah, they did a study prior to this. You can listen to it. I believe it was on This American Life on a podcast.
Whoa, we don't promote any other podcasts around here. Settle down, Bueno. I'm just kidding.
Because I love me some podcasts.
Not ours.
But I'm listening to you, ladies. I always want to put in my opinion, but it's not easy. I feel left out. Anyway, so it talks about how the times that they do their count for how many people they have found dead is actually incorrect. They do it like once a week, where a body out there can only exist for like 24 to 48 hours, and then they're all gone because the desert kills it and eats it up, birds, everything. Some of them put rocks over the graves, which keeps it for a little bit longer, but nonetheless, it's still not an accurate count either.
Right. Stacey?
I just feel like, at what point does like humanity not sort of take over and say, you know, first of all, to put yourself in a position where you're gonna risk so much and risk your life. It's not like people go into this not knowing how dangerous of a trip this is. You know what I mean? It's not like they just left their house and they were like, well, we didn't know. You know, you have to risk that, knowing that there's like this small glimmer of hope that you make it across the border and that you're able to have a better life. So the fact that you're blaming parents for this, I think is sort of insane. And I think, you know, of course, we're all going to, you know, think that this is just tragic. I mean, you look at the, you know, the way we treated the caravan, the way we treated the children that are being locked up in cages, like, it's just sort of par for the course with the rest of the behavior. And, you know, this is a child. And it's really reminiscent of what's going on with the 2-year-old who is on life support in Oakland right now. And they're trying to get his parents to be able to, his mother to be able to come into the country to see him. But because of the travel ban, they're from Yemen and she can't come. And to me, it's like, at what point do you not say, like, this baby is on life support and get his mom here to say goodbye to him? Like, at what point do you not sort of just know that people that get captured crossing the border are gonna need food and water? Like, I just, to me, it's like, for, you know, a lot of Republicans and a lot of conservatives who want to talk a lot about, you know, there's, you know, how important fetuses are and that sort of stuff, but they don't seem to give a shit about people that, you know, are in these kinds of situations. And to me, I just don't see how you rectify that, you know, how you can come to terms with having such differing opinions on these people don't count and we shouldn't have to take care of them. And, you know, it's their fault for crossing and, you know, you're going to risk your life, but that sort of doesn't seem to matter.
Yeah. We've talked about this on here before. I have voiced here that my personal opinion is that America, it doesn't stop at America's an idea. It's an idea that was established hundreds of years ago. And it doesn't stop or begin at a border. Like, we have to decide what values are important to us as a country. And I know that sounds idealistic and far-fetched, and you know how do you translate values into policy? But you can translate values into policy. We'd have to throw money at it. You would have to, because technically, legally speaking, this man and his daughter turned themselves over at the border and claimed asylum. As soon as someone steps foot in claiming asylum onto our land, they're given the same rights temporarily as a United States citizen. So until it can be determined whether or not they will gain asylum or be sent back to their country. So we should be offering, once they enter over, the people should be looked at. They should be given medical treatment as necessary. I'm not saying like, oh, you know, put them on chemo if they just step over the border and, you know, they're dying of cancer. You know, that's not what I'm saying. Basic medical treatment, because we have to decide things like, is medical care a basic human right in the richest country on the planet, or is it something that every person should have to pay for until they're bankrupt? We have to decide, does a 7-year-old who just made a 150-mile journey, despite what her parents made her do or whatever, is her value of life as important as anybody else's? Those are the values that we have to decide on. And those are the things that we need to write policies about. And I understand that, and I agree with you, Bueno, the Trump administration is not the first administration to be acting this way. It is not. And that was really hard for a lot of liberals to swallow, to find out that the Obama administration did not do a great job with this either. They did. We historically have not done a great job with asylum seekers in this country, except when they were coming over and the Native Americans welcomed them. And that was the last time that any type of asylum seekers were treated with any amount of dignity. And I understand theoretically what they're trying to do. They're trying to dissuade people from coming here and trying to cross the border and trying to claim asylum. But you also need to think about this. This man's family, there were 7 of them. They were living on $5 a day. 7 people. There is not an obstacle in this world that I would not try to conquer to give my son a better life. There's just not. And yes, is it unrealistic to think, or maybe, you know, insane to think that you could cross a desert and all these hundreds of miles with your child and make it to a place that you have been told your whole life has all these opportunities and all this money, and like it has all these promises that are put out there because we are supposed to be like this shining beacon on a hill. That is what we are supposed to be to the rest of the world. We have fallen from that. We are not that anymore. But that is what people see us as. We're supposed to be benevolent. Okay. Is it, as a parent, do you risk giving them just the slim possibility of that life, or do you just continue to let them live what every parent wants, to give their kid a better life than what they had? That's what every decent parent wants to do. I don't understand why this is so hard to understand. And I keep hearing these arguments of, well, we have homeless veterans on the street. Yeah, help them too. Reevaluate our fucking values as a country. Mm-hmm. Decide what's important to us and put money there. Stop putting money into areas that don't need. Stop giving corporate bailouts to the richest people in the fucking planet. Stop enticing Amazon to move into your area by telling them they don't have to pay fucking taxes. Stop. Let build the veterans homes. Let them build their own homes. Let asylum seekers come in, help them. And at the very, very fucking least, don't hurt them more. Just don't hurt them more. That's the least we can fucking do.
I was gonna say, because it's not even like we're just not helping. We're literally hurting them. And I think we've become so America first, America first, America first.
Ugh.
It's great to care about your country, but to not value people from other countries as people is a really dangerous position to be in. And I feel like that's sort of where we're getting, because like we've said many times before, can be true at the same time. You can want to help these people and also want to help veterans. Those things can both can both be true.
And if you can't see the humanity and decency and dignity in helping a 7-year-old, I can't fucking help you. Like, I just, I don't.
Isn't that what all of our conversations about healthcare boil down to, too, is the fact that, you know, people have this like, well, I shouldn't have to pay for you. When my mentality is like, if I have to pay a little bit more so some person who doesn't have insurance doesn't have to die unnecessarily. Take my money. Take it. If you need to take a little bit more of my money, so this, and this isn't even, this is more of just a, like, can we stop being such assholes?
Well, the reality is every one of us is just like one unpredictable accident away from bankruptcy.
Right.
Like one right. horrific really car accident that puts you out of work. Yeah. It's, yeah. And I can't debate empathy anymore. And I'm not blaming these Border Patrol agents. I don't, like I said, I don't think any normal human being would do harm to a 7-year-old little girl. I don't think that. I don't think that they intentionally hurt her or wanted to see her die or any. I don't think that. I also don't think that of her father. We have to stop saying okay. It's not our problem at all. It was them. It is everyone's fucking problem when children are dying in front of us. That is everyone's problem. I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't care if they're homeless, black, brown, white, yellow, polka dotted, or whatever. If a 7-year-old is struggling in front of you, it is all of our problem to help them. If you were walking down the street in your neighborhood and a 7-year-old was lying on the ground screaming in pain, you would help. I'd hope you fucking help them. If you don't, get out of here. Turn this off right now. I don't want to talk to you anymore.
My bad. See ya.
But the color of their skin or where they were born, none of that should matter. A 7-year-old needs your help. It doesn't matter if it was their parents' fault. We have so much empathy for these kids that are trapped in houses where their parents OD'd on opioids, you know, or shot themselves or killed themselves. But we can't seem to muster it when they're coming to take what's ours. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. I'm not going to debate empathy anymore. Get it together, right. America. You're starting to really piss me off.
Right, because it really shouldn't be about they're coming from Mexico. They're Mexicans. We're American. But they're just people.
Mm-hmm.
Which, and I think it's really easy. People love to hide behind their computers and, you know, it's really easy to sit back and go, well, they shouldn't have tried it. But if these people are in front of you laying on the ground dying, are you going to say the same thing? It's really easy from a distance to sit back and say, well, it's their problem. They shouldn't have done it.
Well, God help you. If you were traveling to a foreign country and your 7-year-old needed medical attention and nobody would give it to you. Like, God help you. Hi, sweet baby angel. Kai's making he's just drinking Stacey's wine. Oh,
it's really nice to have like a ray of light come in when we're talking about
my Lord.
Yeah, I mean that I don't want to assign blame to anyone is what my bottom line comes to. Like I said, I think all the adults in her life failed her. I don't think with ill intention her father failed her. Wow. I don't think that. I think he was really trying to do what he thought was best for his daughter. I think sometimes best intentions get clouded and you make decisions that you think are going to turn out one way and they don't. I also think we need to be realistic about the resources this man had to try and make it here. And like Buena was saying, the sheer amount of people that have died over the years, just trying to come to this country. We've said it on here before too, by sheer luck, you're born in America.
Yeah.
Sheer luck.
Right.
Any one of a million things could have gone differently and you could have been in Syria. You could have been in Honduras. You could have been, you know, anywhere else, Iraq, Iran, Afghan, like name a place. God didn't ordain that. It was luck. It's a sperm. Okay. A sperm did it. So I think we're so caught up in your team, my team, whatever, that we are losing our humanity in the process. Right. And I'm not willing to do it. I'm just not. I wouldn't care if that 7-year-old had a I voted for Trump hat on or whatever, you know, America
Make
first.
America
you'd still help them. Any one of us would still help them.
Or any person, not even a child.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing where you're like, I feel like the fact that we're even in a position where we have to say, but it's a child. Like, we shouldn't even have to say that. It's just, they're a person.
Yeah. Okay. Government shutdown. Oh, this man gives me such a fucking headache. All right. Believe it or not, the Republicans and Democrats came together in 217 approved and 185 voted against in order to fund the government until February. But Trump wanted thrown in $5 billion for his stupid fucking wall. And now he's saying he's going
to all these things that we need and like. I feel like all we're talking about as far as, or all, not all us we're talking about, but all Trump's talking about as far as funding is like the fucking wall, his ticker tape parade. Like, just this bullshit stuff we do not need.
Did you guys hear that they made a GoFundMe? Is that real or is that?
Yes.
They yes, okay, the GoFundMe supposedly that I thought
$1 million
was supposed to be $1 billion to build the wall, and it's up to $6 million right now.
Oh shit! I heard one.
Yeah.
Million.
So they raised
all that money and donated to charity.
Okay, here's the best part. So, Triple Amputee started this. He's an Air Force veteran. He started this GoFundMe page to try and show that the public was invested. His original thing was the 63 million people who voted for Trump. If they all contributed $60, they'd be able to raise $1 billion for this wall. Ooh. My favorite part is that another group is like started a GoFundMe to raise money for ladders to throw on the other side.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
And they've already raised like $20,000, but they actually said they're going to donate it to a refugee organization out of Texas. But yeah, they started a GoFundMe page, which.
Can I just say, if I was a Trump supporter and I got told Mexico's going to pay for the wall, and then I got told, no, we're going to pay for the wall. And then somebody was like, no, it's fine. We'll start a GoFundMe. I'd be like, what the fuck? Is this government? How is this government?
But I've been saying that about his tweeting all along. Is this true? Is this for real? Like, this can't.
Yeah.
This could be really
a thing, right?
My favorite part is they have to release all of his tweets on official White House like letterhead that says like press release and seeing it. Yeah, because it's part of public history. Like, our great grandchildren will be able to go to the Library of Congress and flip through Trump's tweet. No. I know. And they're going to be like, what did you guys do to stop it? We're going to be like, I didn't vote. I don't know. I didn't vote for him.
We did a podcast.
Yeah, we got put on several lists.
That makes me very sad.
Yeah. So the Republicans, Democrats came together, said, hey, we got to keep the government funded. Troops need to be paid. Like, all of these things they pretend to care about needs to get taken care of. Trump said, no, I'm not doing it unless you give me my $5 billion to start the building of the border wall. And now they're like, fucking this guy. Like, can we just go home for Christmas? No one wants to deal with this shit.
Do we have the rights to play that clip of him right there?
Well, it's public content. It's public.
Okay.
You did a really good.
Play it again.
Exact one.
I don't really have any thoughts on the subject other than like, just stop throwing a fuck. Like, why do you have to? Why do you die on every fucking hill? Like, just every hill.
Fucking thing.
Hey, but let's all be positive that the government, other than the president, came to an agreement that we're compromising, that we're doing really well.
I want you to just replay in your head what you just said.
Hey, you know what?
The entire government, except the president.
Except the president. So because he's not the government. Does anyone take him seriously as the fucking president? Can we just be honest about that? Like, the real people did, not the mascot. The people that do the work, they did the thing. It's like the football team, and then he's like the Philly fanatic.
But we have to be happy that somehow we've made a difference so that Republicans have gone that way. Like, there's compromise somewhere, and it's just, that's refreshing to me.
Well,
yeah, we'll go with that.
This shutdown would be the third this year. and it would most likely last through Christmas and into the new year, at least until the Democrats take control of the House on January 3rd, so if he actually shut, it would be the dumbest move on his part politically. I feel like he's just pandering to his base now. Like, he doesn't even care.
Shut it down for the remainder of
shut
the
it
time
all down!
That the Republicans control
still get paid. Hell no.
Oh, yeah, no, fuck that.
If you want to shut shit down until we're in charge, go for it.
It's not them I'm worried about. It's
shut things down while he still has control of the house.
But it's the people that work in the military, that work in the National Park Service, that work in like federal buildings and stuff. Those are the people you don't want to see be out of a job at Christmas.
He's so stupid that he doesn't understand the fact that like he could potentially shut down the rest of the time that there's Republican control of the house.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
What a dummy.
This isn't like this is. You're not like making groundbreaking progress here. Trump's an
that's
idiot.
My official statement.
Your official statement. All right. The ACA. So, the Republicans went shopping for a judge. Essentially, they did. They decided to file complaint in Texas. They picked an area where there's only one judge that actually hears federal cases, and that one judge, they knew would... Anybody who thinks that Republican judges aren't activists, you're fucking high, all right? You're high. So, and I'm not saying Democrats aren't either. But that's not what we're dealing with right now. Like, we can talk about that later if we want to. But, so, he basically said, what he did was he took one section of the Affordable Care Act, which the Republicans pulled out. Here's what doesn't make sense to me. So the individual mandate went through as a tax. And then last year during that big tax reform, where are you all feeling the benefits from that? You buying your second house yet? Yeah, your so boat, good. Your car. Yeah. You just upped your 401k.
Between my plane and my golf course, I'm raking in the money. I inherited, millions of dollars and didn't have to pay any taxes on that. So it was super sweet.
Thank God. So what they're saying is the individual mandate is no longer a tax. And because the individual mandate is not a tax, it is no longer constitutional. So if the mandate is no longer constitutional, the entire law has to be unconstitutional. It's just this like plethora of throw it on the wall and see if it sticks. Yeah. So this judge ruled it unconstitutional. But what doesn't make sense is it is still, they can't remove the tax because it's an act. All they did was say there was zero penalty for it. So people are still technically required to be part of the mandate. Like, you're still required to get insurance if you don't get it from your employer or from somewhere else. The only thing that changed was they kept the wording as it's a tax, but you're just paying zero. So his whole ruling doesn't make any sense because it's still there written in the law.
Because he doesn't know how anything works.
No one's being penalized for it, though. So pretty much this is going to get overturned as it moves up the courts, which of course it will. But of course, the fucking Trump administration is calling this a huge win because they don't know anything about the Constitution or the law or how just like, I don't know, the government works. So like, there's so many, it would be easier to list things they do know about. They know about collusion. They know how to Big launder Mac. Money. Yeah. Big Macs.
Paying off sex workers.
So I didn't understand any of this getting because fired. No one got rid of anything. It was just like a wording change. So I don't really understand what everyone's so excited about.
Nothing. They didn't do anything and they claimed it as a win.
I think it's heading to the Supreme Court. That's why.
They got to go to the Fifth Circuit first and then it will go to the Supreme Court.
That's the thing. And they didn't change
anything. I'm
sure
it will. But I'm sure it will go to the Supreme Court, just like Prop 8 did, just like everything.
But yeah, but the Supreme Court that already ruled that the Affordable Care Act was legal, the majority is still sitting there. Like, it was a 5-4 decision, and all five of those people are still there. So if it went to the Supreme Court, it's easy to... I don't even think it's going to make it that far.
Cross your fingers.
I don't either.
I think this is, again, pandering to the base, to the fucking base. Look, we repealed Obama. So. Well, because what they're trying to do is even the Trump administration doesn't want to get rid of Obamacare. They just want to get rid of the clause that includes pre-existing conditions. That's what they want to get rid of because they're being paid off.
Because how many times now has he said that he's going to keep pre-existing conditions? And actually,
I'm sorry. Do you mean to tell me that Trump's a liar?
He's going to keep preconditions.
What?
The preconditions. He's going to keep those. No, the preconditions. He's thinking of prenup.
So the Democrats are fighting it, which I don't think they just let it fucking implode all over itself. Right. It's going to be embarrassing for them. But that's my opinion.
It's so stupid. I just love that they live in this fantasy land where they're like, we won! Like, wait, what? No, you didn't. Or like with when they were talking about individual one or whatever, the president was like, see, it's not me, it's this individual one guy. Totally clear. Like,
no one pulled him aside first and was like, psst, sir, you're actually individual one. That's you. You're gonna be in jail when you leave office. I don't know what to tell you. He's like, but could it be in a tower? Sure. We'll put you in a tower.
Whatever. Yeah. Build
we'll put a dragon out front. Yeah. We'll put a little wall around you.
$4 billion worth.
Does anyone have any thoughts about the Affordable Care Act? Guado?
Oh, you know, I'm all about it because my family's on it. My dad retired and my mom has been pretty much a housewife her whole life, and she's 5 years younger. So because he retires, she doesn't get health care. So the American Care Act is what helped us on a low income get her insurance. Mm-hmm. And for me, like, that threat is huge. And yeah, they might be pandering, but all I can think of is when we were talking about marriage for everyone and Prop 8, this is where it started. It started in a state court and it slowly moved up until it got to Supreme Court, and thank God the Supreme Court did what they did. But I'm just so scared that it starts in state and it's going to move up and move up and it's going to get to that Supreme Court. And I cross my fingers that that one ruling will go the right way. Because if it doesn't, it's going to screw not just my family, but millions of families. And I don't think people understand. It's not the poor and the people that don't want to work. It's none of that. It's people that actually need healthcare and can't afford a really good healthcare plan.
Well, and I think that's the thing that's crazy. So you have somebody that's worked their entire life, who retires, and then can't afford healthcare. And it's just, you know, at that point, then to have people saying, like, well, we shouldn't have universal healthcare.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. My dog is attacking my head.
Let me.
But to say that.
I know. Stacey, you know, have you ever thought about that?
Because it always tells people, yeah, because, you know, the whole, like, you know, there's this view, and I know we've talked about it a lot before with you too, Stace, and Kai, you know, had some opinions about it, where there's this thing that, like, well, if you don't work for it, you shouldn't get it. But what about all these people that do work for it? And then once they retire, I don't think people think about that.
Well, they assume they're going to be covered under Medicare. Mm-hmm. But there's an age gap.
Right. So being in your position, Stacey, where you're staying home, you're taking care of the kids and stuff, like, when Kai retires, you'll need medical insurance, and usually most people's retirement won't cover a spouse.
No, it does not. Like, yeah. it doesn't, unless you have a dream job and the employer does it, but mm-hmm. not too many places do that. And that's why I'm like, okay, they're just, what, 5 years difference, but that 5 years difference make a huge, like, luckily he waited to retire and she only needed 3 years of it. But at the same time, that's 3 years that she would have. She has diabetes. She also has pre-existing conditions.
Yeah.
So that premium would have been out the door had we not had this.
Well, I'm hoping this actually pushes us in the direction, because so even if things are unpopular, it's real hard to take rights away once they've been given to someone. It's, mm-hmm. you know, once people get used to something, telling them then, well, we're glad you enjoyed that, but we're going to take that from you now, and now you're going to be uninsured. Like, that is unpopular across the board with Republicans, right. Democrats, independents, people who don't give a shit about politics. It's unpopular to take something from someone once they've had it. So what I'm hoping for, and I mean, you can hold hope in one hand, shit in the other, and see which pans out first, but I'm hoping this pushes us more into the public option for Medicare for all, where you can actually buy into that.
Like you said, it just boils down to that whole, should healthcare be a human right?
In 2018, in the richest country in the world, healthcare is a basic human right. It is part of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, in my opinion. Like, you cannot live your best life if you are one car accident away, one biking accident, one hiking accident, one whatever accident away, even if it's not your fault. You could be parked on the side of the road somewhere and get sideswiped by a drunk driver, and you could bankrupt your entire family if you don't have healthcare. Like, you just could.
But it just goes back to that humanity thing too. Mm-hmm. Because if you want to say, I work hard for my money, and so I have a nicer house than this person who, you know,
whatever.
You know, whatever, sure, go for it. But the, like, well, I can afford treatment for my health issues and this person can't, so they're gonna die, like, that doesn't sit well with me. That I just I don't get. I think it's one of those things that is a, it's a socialist program, like lots of socialist programs we have. We've talked about this, like fire and our
police.
And, police and armed services and all of these things, like
school,
every military school, these are all socialist programs, and I don't see why we accept all of these things but not you know, medical treatments. I just don't get it. A homeless person can call the police, but they shouldn't have access to health care.
Right.
Stacey, do you have any thoughts?
No, I'm glad we talked about this, because when Bueno brought it to the table, I was like, what are you guys talking about? So I'm glad you shed some light on it. Like, and I can, you know, respect your
pumping the wash
shitty position right now. And like, knowing somebody that's going through that now, it's something I would follow, you know?
Yeah. It's just, yeah. Again, we have to decide our values. What are our values? You don't get to demand that every baby be born and then not want to cover them with health insurance. Like, you can't have that both ways. You just don't get to. That doesn't make any sense.
I think it's a lack of education too, because I think a lot of the people that are saying this don't realize.
Right.
That they may need to be recipients of that at some point, whether it's because of unemployment or retirement or whatever. At some point, you're not going to be working anymore. So, you know, I just feel like especially Trump is doing such a disservice to his base, because the lack of information about what kind of services they're receiving or that they're dependent on or that they may become dependent on is really misleading.
Yeah.
All right, Stace, there was an article you want to talk about, and then you wanted to talk about a different topic too. So take it away.
Are we talking about Baby, It's Cold Outside?
Whatever you want.
Okay, so I wanted to...
It's your time to shine.
I can't believe we haven't had this conversation on the podcast or in real life about the banning of Baby, It's Cold Outside, which I just want to say, I'm pretty sure Stacey, like, did you have a part in the city you work for had flags put up in down on Main Street that say, Baby, It's Cold Outside, and I
Not
was like...
Me.
That's fantastic. And I feel like it was an intentional
thing. So unrelated.
I saw it on their Facebook page, of course, because I need to change my name to the social media queen. But I saw it on their Facebook page, and it had the little like emoji that was like the sideways eyes, like, hit. We totally did this on purpose. And I was like, they're throwing shade. That's awesome. So I want to get your guys' opinion on banning Baby, It's Cold Outside. But also, this guy, I just read this on Facebook. This guy, Dave Tief, T-I-E-F-F, he says, if you're offended by Baby, It's Cold Outside, you're going to have a tough go of it in life, and so are your kids. First, you're completely ignoring the fact that the song is 74 years old, when women were ladies and men were gentlemen. Her protest? Yeah. Listen. Even if you don't agree with the ban, this irked me. Okay. In quotes, her protest was typical of a way a lady would speak to a man instead of just downing some drinks and hopping into bed with him. No one seems offended by those kind of lyrics when you hear them on the radio all year long. Men actually had to court women back in those days, a subtle dance that for both men and women no longer exists. Sad but true. Secondly, what's in this drink does not imply that she was roofied, and it didn't apply in 1944. You don't need to be a historian to piece that together. So I don't agree with the ban, because it's just a traditional song. Like, it's whatever, let it go. Don't be offended over silly stuff. But that little like post really irked me. Yeah. Like, oh, it was when women were classy.
Didn't
get drunk and go home with anybody. They had to protest a little and say, oh, are you feeding me alcohol?
Okay. Okay. So I have an opinion on this. So
you're kidding.
I know. Listen, I'm pretty feminist, right?
You are the most feminist person I know.
And listen, I think the ban is kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. I think if you know how to read,
yeah,
and you can read text and subtext and context, the song is totally fine. So it is not a women had to, like, we weren't classy back then. It's a back and forth.
Yeah.
It is right. A back and forth. It is completely consensual. And it is, you know, it's a flirty. Little...
I thought it was flirty, yeah.
It's flirty, yeah. And she's playing coy, and that's how it is. And not to mention the fact that nobody brings up that the roles reverse halfway through the song.
Mm-hmm.
And then the man is protesting, and the woman's not. So this is... I think we are so lazy with language. When people say, like, well, I didn't understand in your text message. Really? Because we've understood letters for the last fucking forever.
We understand fucking cave paintings.
I don't know when you're being sarcastic in a text message, but people could figure it out in a letter. Like, carrier pigeons knew what was happening. Like, I just call bullshit on that. So as a pretty hardcore feminist, I think the song is fine. I think if you know anything about the English language, the subtext, the context, the actual text of the song, totally fine. I don't find it inappropriate. I think she is a willing participant in the sort of cat and mouse tennis game that is happening in this song. I think it's totally fine. It's one of my favorite Christmas songs.
My opinion is, I don't give a shit. Okay. I don't fucking care about Baby It's Cold Outside. If radio stations don't want to play it, I don't care. If they do want to play it, cool. Like, I don't fucking care. We have so many bigger issues going on than a song that was written in the 1940s. Like, I
ladies
don't.
Ladies.
Well, that post is real fucking annoying. Here's what does piss me off, though, is that people once again have to get on their sides and, like, duke this out. Like, if you don't like the if it triggers you in some way, if it brings up bad memories for you, whatever.
Don't
listen to it. Cool. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that happened to you. That's super unfortunate. I don't relate to it, but I can empathize with your position. Don't listen to it. And I understand your point of view. If you think it's the greatest Christmas song that's ever been written, cool. Listen to it. I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
I don't particularly
by yeah. Dave's post that I am
right
over the lyrics of the song.
100%
that it is a back and forth.
Yeah,
right.
Is so insulting. I have a bigger problem with him and mm-hmm. that post than I do with the song.
Yeah, exactly. To try and say, like, oh, back when ladies were ladies and men were jump. It's just a fucking Christmas song. Like, I don't care. So I don't.
You
I don't
think
believe
that men weren't taking advantage of women in the 1940s. Get right. the fuck out of here.
I don't right? believe that Jesus was the Son of God. I don't believe that he was born in December. I don't believe any of the Christian mumbo jumbo. But you know what? I still sing along to Silent Night. I don't care. I just don't care. Yeah. Like,
wait, time out.
People
who here knows the words to Semi-Charmed Kind of Life.
No yeah, one. I Nobody hate. Knows yeah. those words. Smash Mouth doesn't know the
it.
Words to
we
that.
It's worst ever. And you're like, you know what? Baby, It's Cold Outside is nothing compared to, like, what we sang as teenagers.
No. Right? There was a song, I'm sure you remember, Bueno, yes. we were in middle school, called Too Close, that is literally about an erection.
Yeah.
Dirty.
So you're dancing real close. Yeah, I feel a little poke coming through.
Yep.
They played that at our middle school dances.
Well, that offends me because I don't like penises. I want it taken off the radio immediately.
I do
think that this all comes back to, like, this period of time we're going through that it's like overcorrection. And I don't necessarily think overcorrection is bad. I think it's annoying, but I think it's good that people are starting to try and look at things that they took for granted in, like, everyday life as, oh, this could be problematic. But there are far worse problematic things that are going on that we should be paying attention to. The baby That's is cold okay. outside.
I want no attention going to this and all the attention going to that little girl that died.
Right. Like, right. I just don't fucking care.
I have a couple things. One, first, I'm going to admit, I don't care for the word, or, like, I wish they would take out the lyrics of the answer is no. Because once she says the answer is no, I'm like, oh, that is kind of, like, not good.
It is, but again, it goes back to context. The answer is no to staying a little longer. The answer is not no to having sex with him.
Totally, but at the same point, okay. I'm like,
no,
I don't
no
like that
anything.
Lyric.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like, once she says the answer's no, like, he shouldn't be arguing. That's
but,
what it is.
But you could also get into, if we really wanted to delve into it, you could get into the intent of the writer at the time.
Right.
And it just didn't rhyme any other way. So
right.
just,
right.
Right? This is where we are, people.
It's like the only lyric I don't care for, but the rest is great. And let's be honest, they show that the percentage of Americans that enjoy this is like 95 to 98%. And so what we're talking about is a 2% of people that don't care for it or like just hate the song in general. So this political correctness that we're talking about, it's just being overemphasized by the media. It has nothing to deal with actual news.
Right. I agree. Like I said, radio stations play it, don't play it. I don't fucking care. If you really like Baby It's Cold Outside, you can still download it on iTunes and listen to it. And literally every artist who's ever made a Christmas album, feel free. Like it doesn't, here's what really pisses me off about the whole thing. Where is it being kept from you? Like if you do want to listen to it, and I still like Kelly Clarkson's Wrapped in Red is my favorite Christmas album that's ever been created. Okay.
Okay, Mariah Carey, Merry Christmas.
Okay, no, overdone, overdone, overdone.
Oh, Beach Boys.
Oh no, Beach Boys.
I am really upset at the world for kind of making me sick of All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Are we gonna? Our first fight?
Beach Boys, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas from the Beach Boys. That might be the best Christmas album. I agree with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, Kelly Clarkson. I'm not vehemently opposed to any one particular Christmas album. I'm just saying, no one is preventing you from listening to it. No one. So you don't get to hear it on the radio. Let's be honest. How many people actually listen to the fucking radio?
Also, that's a great fucking point because I can tell you. Stacey does.
I do.
Remember the last time I played the radio.
I can honestly say it's 50-50 in my car year round of radio or my kids play iTunes.
Yeah.
But all of December is that one station in the Bay Area that plays Christmas music the entire time. KJOY. They play Christmas music the entire time.
You listen to light rock music. It's fine.
I'm not in my car that often.
Let's talk.
KJOY.
We all know it.
I'm just not in my car enough to hear like the song repeat. So it's good. Like I get Christmas music. It's fine.
Here's the thing, guys. You don't have to fucking die on every hill like Trump. You just don't.
What?
Don't listen to it. Listen to it. I don't fucking care. No one cares. No one really cares. Like even the people who are battling this out, they don't really care. Like they're going to forget about Baby Nobody It's Cold Outside in 2 weeks.
Literally no one cares about anything anymore.
All right.
Literally
2018 in a nutshell.
Dumpster
fire. Nothing matters and no one cares.
What's that article you wanted to talk about?
The second thing that I wanted to talk about. So Scary Mommy, right before we got on this podcast, posted an article where a mom posted a picture of a question that her freshman daughter brought home for homework. So it says, Charity Eigenberger posted a photo of an assignment given to her daughter, Haven, a high school freshman, after viewing a video in class on sexual assault. It reads, excuse the grammar because that was the first thing I noticed about it. What could have done differently to have avoided her sexual assault? Please provide at least 4 examples. So they obviously
nothing.
It's a full article. It's like a 2-minute read article. And I read through the whole thing and it's saying, you know, don't victim blame, sexual assault's the only person to blame over a rape is the rapist. That's all it says. And I'm thinking, okay, I get what the mom is trying to say. Obviously in a rape, like the victim is not to blame, but we didn't watch this video, so I don't think it's very fair to criticize this question, because if Melissa from this question is going out in the town and she's very, you know, those videos from the 90s where people are very obviously doing the wrong thing, like she's going, oh, I'm gonna leave my car unlocked, oops. Oh, I'm going to put my keys in my pocket. Oops, I don't need the pepper spray. Here I go. And it's like very, very obviously like you're supposed to answer these questions. What could you have done differently while walking in a dark alley at night? Put the pepper spray in your pocket, have your keys in your hand, blah, blah, blah. This could have been such an over-exaggerated video that I don't think it's fair to pose this question without seeing the video. Right?
I see your point there. I didn't think about that until you said it. I think the wording of it is poor because to say what could have the victim done to avoid the crime that was committed to her is an unfair question. Yeah. But I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
It should have said, what could Melissa have done to defend herself? What could Melissa right. have there done to be safer in a dark alley?
Right.
Yes. It should have been worded better. But I feel like for all these people, because it had like 300 comments in like 60 seconds of people going, oh, hell no, that teacher needs to be fired. I would be down there talking to the principal, all these keyboard warriors saying like all this stuff. And I'm like, whoa, we don't even know what the video was. Like, that's not fair. Just for like the teacher's poor wording, I don't think she should be fired over the video, over the question.
Well, we'd have to see what video it was first. Maybe mm-hmm. she should be. I don't know.
Maybe it was like
she could have just been out with her girls hanging out, like doing totally. Just like yeah. who knows. And
maybe the teacher meant, hey, what could Melissa have done to make sure that she was more safe going home?
Do you mean you want us to not jump to conclusions? Because I'm not gonna do that.
It could have been one of those, you know, when you took those tests, like the first day of class, and you take a test, and like the in the instructions, it says, like, don't answer any of these questions, just turn this paper upside down and sit there or whatever, and then it asks maybe. You a million questions. Maybe. Could have been one of those, like, nothing. There's nothing she could have done to avoid being assaulted. Yeah.
Right.
Maybe.
That was the correct answer. That's a great
spin. I feel like every, like, sixth article that Scary Mommy, I love Scary Mommy's posts. Sometimes they're super relatable, but maybe every fifth article that she posts, I'm kind of like, what are you talking about? And this is one of them. That was not fair.
Well, and to be clear, none of us think it's fair to blame a victim. Like, obviously, if that girl was assaulted, like, it is the assaulter's fault. Like, and it doesn't matter if it was a man, if it was a woman that assaulted her, if it was whatever, it is never the victim's fault when they're assaulted. The number one killer of women still remains men. Yes. Like, that's obviously a fact. The husband did it, for sure. Like, no matter what, the husband did. If a woman, turns up dead, the husband did it. Boyfriend, whatever, fiance, spin a bottle and pick one. But yeah, I agree with you. And I think it does play into that whole, the same thing with Baby It's Cold Outside. We jump to so many conclusions right now. But if that fucking teacher, if she did what was kind of automatically assumed, fuck her.
Of course.
Fuck her.
Pitchfork, and Morgan, yeah, I totally understand. But I don't feel like people should be jumping to conclusions. Benefit of the doubt.
Did anybody, when I went to college in my orientation, my freshman orientation for college, that question was posed to me. And it was discussed, and it was exactly as we assume. And I remember the answers. I was like, oh, maybe she shouldn't drink. And maybe she should put a cover on her drink if she does have a drink. And I answered those willfully, not knowing. But yeah, those questions were posed as a freshman in college.
I will say, like, I'm a little bit glad that that sort of training has changed a little bit, because someone I know who is quite a bit younger than me was getting ready to transfer to somebody that worked for me was getting ready to transfer, and he had to do a training online, and he felt embarrassed on behalf of his gender that the training was basically like, you know, what could, you know, Melissa went to a party and got drunk and blah, 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 blah. And what could she have done different? And it literally was like, nothing. It doesn't matter what she's wearing or what she drinks or what she does. It's not okay to take advantage of someone. So I'm glad that's the training that they're getting now. But he was like, Jesus Christ, it's really fucking embarrassing to be a guy right now. Like, we have to do this training because people don't know it's not okay to rape someone. Like, yeah, that's sort of where we're at. It's like, I don't even want to associate with that gender. I feel like I'm a different third gender that's like a guy and has a penis, but isn't just walking around trying to rape everybody.
Well, and again, we've talked about this on here before. I think this kind of like, not the discussion we're having. I think it's problematic for boys too, because like, I walked outside my office the other day, and this little boy was picking on his sister. They were like both of them were under five. Like, God bless their dad who took him to the park. He was doing the best he could. But it was so apparent to me, and I'm sure I'm much more attuned to it now because I'm raising a little boy. But the little boy was just picking on his sister, picking on his sister, picking on his sister. And she was crying, you know? And I mean, siblings do that. I'm not like, whatever. Siblings fucking pick on each other. We picked on each other. I'm not saying that. But the dad walked over and said, "This is just what boys do. You have to deal with it." And I thought, no. I didn't say anything, but I was sitting there thinking, no, if I caught my son picking on anyone, I would tell him, just stop. 100, like, you don't get to pick on anyone. That's not a thing we're going to do. Like, we aren't those people. But you're especially not going to torment a girl. And I'm in it. If you are, I'm not going to tell her that's just what boys do. Again, we don't give boys enough emotional credit to say, hey, don't behave. Would you like to be picked on? How would you feel? Like, this isn't a situation that I want to see you have to experience. So let's not do it to someone else. And I just sat there thinking, Jesus Christ, like, even in the Me Too movement, and even with all of the shit going on with, you know, boys shouldn't behave this way, and, you know, there's a certain way you should treat girls, and no means no, and like all these things, this message is still being passed on. And I just thought, one, I felt really sad for that girl, but probably because I'm a boy mom now, I felt really sad for that boy, because what his dad was telling him was, your behavior's okay because you're a boy. Right. And that is super unfair to him, because you're saying, I don't expect any more from you. I expect your sister to deal with it because she is emotionally capable of dealing with your bullshit. And I expect a much lower bar from you because you're just a boy. Well, that's how I read it.
That's the part we don't focus on enough, I think, too. I think right now, at least with the Me Too movement, that sort of stuff, we're focusing on the effects that it has on the girls, but we're not necessarily focusing on the effects it has on the boys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want my son to grow up thinking, if I have a crush on a girl, there's better ways to go about it than kicking her in the shins. And I expect a certain amount of that, because there's that awkward age where you're like, nah, I just like you. Meh, 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 meh. Like, I'm not saying like, oh, I expect him to always be completely chivalrous. Like, but to see a parent say, I expect no more from you than to be a little asshole. Right. And I expect her to shut up and deal with it.
Right.
That says so much about our culture, and like that one little snap. And he could be a really good dad. He could have just been at his wit's end. And I'm not saying like, whatever. Like, he was there by himself. Two toddlers is a lot to handle. Like, they're running everywhere. They're being banshees. He could have had a lapse in judgment. I don't know. But I just thought it was a really good snapshot of kind of like, dude, he can be better, and she deserves more.
Yeah.
Like, that, those are the, even if you're going to treat your sibling like shit, which we all do, like, we all do it, phrasing it as, that's just how boys behave, you're telling your daughter, when your significant other picks on you, it's okay because that's how they are. And you're telling your son it's okay to pick on girls. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, again, I could be totally reading into it, but it really rubbed me the wrong way. And I promise you, I will do everything I can to not raise a little boy that behaves that way. He's going to be an asshole sometimes. That's a given. But you know what? Little girls are too.
You know what? So, what's funny is that I've got to give it to my parents, because that happened a lot when I was a kid. Me and my brother would fight it out and like tear each other apart. But my mom always, like, there was one time my mom, I think I was like 9 or 10, and my brother was 15 or 16, I don't remember, but she literally looked at him and said, do you really want your sister to get into a marriage and think it's okay to hit her? And ever since then,
good for your mom.
Yeah. And ever since then, my brother has we've never gotten to fights, like physical fights. Obviously, we still verbally and.
That's a sibling thing. That's not a.
But ever since then, because he used to smack the hell out of me, he used to like slap me upside the head and tickle torture and all that other stuff. And she looked at him and she's like, do you think this is going to be okay when she grows up and she gets a husband? Is that going to be okay?
Or is that how you want to treat your wife?
Yeah.
Right.
True. And so ever since then, it like, I don't know if it taught him empathy. I don't know what, but never touched me again.
Well, he probably, he may not have realized it. He probably intellectually realized that's not who he wants you to be with. So he probably tried to change his demeanor. And that's all it takes sometimes, being like, hey, you don't get to do that to her because you don't get to treat anybody that way. Fucking knock it off. Like, yeah, you can play, you can wrestle, but now she's crying. Like, now you've passed your, like...
Right. Sibling,
yeah.
Like, my brother used to hold me down and do that spit slurping thing where they drop their spit right before it touches your nose, they slurp it back up. Okay, there is a certain amount of, like, sibling, like, goofing off and torture that it's just a brother-sister thing. But hurting them, yeah, I kind of like what your mom said there. Like, I can get behind that.
Yeah, and I'm not advocating for, like, oh, sibling rivalry isn't, you know, acceptable, because it happens. Like, there's nothing you can do about that. But yeah, there's a respectful way to it. Just, it really, it struck me. And I promise myself even more that my son won't treat anyone that way, much less a female. He just won't. He won't. And if he does, let me tell you something. There's not going to be any free passes of then she's down, boys behave. No, no. Not around here, motherfuckers. All right. What's everyone obsessed with this week?
You're going to love it.
Okay, go.
So I went out with my mom and my two daughters, and we ate at this diner in Sacramento. And there was this two girls sitting kind of across from us in another booth that had like chocolate bars or something they were selling, right? And so I had noticed them and I was like, oh, I wonder what their cause is, you know, whatever. And they had matching t-shirts and like whatever. So my daughter's wearing a t-shirt that says, "Not today, Satan," which is from... I had to Google like where it was from. It's from RuPaul's Drag Race is where it originated, but we all know.
Yeah. What not, it today, means, Satan, right? Not today,
Satan. Not today. Not today, Satan. Nope. Nuh-uh. So they get up to leave the restaurant and the one comes to our table and she says, I just wanted to let you know, I love your shirt. It's so cute and bless you. And just God bless your family. And I love
God it. Bless the United States of America.
Pride, blah, blah, blah. And she walks away and my daughter looks at me and I look at her and I'm like, what? And they're wearing like Christians Care shirts. She thought that not today, Satan means like, don't let Satan in. Like, oh, Satan's not going to get me.
Like Christian.
I know. We laughed so freaking hard when they walked out the door. We were like, oh, they totally misunderstood that. It was so good. So good.
Wow. That's impressive. That's Stacey? Really like, that's amazing. That's so funny. I was going to say, I had two things. I'll be quick though. Okay. One of them happened was on, I went on Facebook when I woke up because that's just like what I do. And E had posted a story about Caitlyn Jenner, like spending her first Christmas with her girlfriend, blah, 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 whatever and whatever. So, but I made the mistake of reading the comments and the comments were like so annoying to me. People were like, I don't, why are you going to become a woman to just be a lesbian? I don't get it. Like, what do you not get? I swear to God, these are the comments. Like, went through all that, like, had the surgery, and then you're going to be a lesbian? Like, first of all, gender and sexual orientation are not the same thing. So if you are a person.
Preach. They are not the same thing.
To women, you are born a man, and you are attracted to women. And then you transition to becoming a female. Still going to be attracted to women. So yeah, I guess that makes you a lesbian, but like, why do you not understand how that's different? Like, I don't understand why you like, no, it's really not that hard. And guess what? You don't have to understand it because it's none of your business. None of your business. And I'm glad that a couple people were more upset by the fact that it said that they spent their first Christmas together and Christmas hasn't happened yet. And then a couple people were upset that she looked a little bit like Kim Kardashian and thought that was weird. But the majority of people were like, I don't get it. Like,
can I just remind everyone that empathy does not equal acceptance? Like, you cannot understand something and, or I shouldn't say, empathy doesn't equal endorsement.
You
cannot understand something and be okay that that's not your life and that's the life someone else is living without saying, that's perfect, that's great. Like, you cannot understand how the trans community works or how the LGBT community works without doing harm to them, whether verbally, physically, whatever.
Yeah.
You don't have to get everything. I don't understand everything. Jesus, no one does. Yeah. Like,
no.
God, we'd all be rich if we understood how everything worked. No. You don't have to completely understand something to not hurt them. You just don't.
I will say I read one refreshing comment because it can get a little confusing. That I get. Somebody was like, I didn't really understand it. But once you guys explained it, that totally makes sense. I hope they have a great Christmas. And I was like, man, good for you. My other quick thing was our high school football team won the state championship. It was all very, very exciting. We had a big rally downtown. These people came out and it was so wonderful. It was really nice because there are two gentlemen in town that do not really have ties to the football team or anything really, who offered to pay for championship rings for every kid on the football team, which I thought was $15,000 worth of rings for these kids. It's probably only time they will win this because of some rule changes. And it was one of those things, the kids didn't know about it. He made the offer to the vice mayor. The vice mayor was there to make the announcement. And these kids were so genuinely excited. It was just a really nice thing to see. The rally was super cool itself because it is a really nice community moment. Like, there's two high schools in our town. One of them's really new and the other one's been around for 113 years. So it was really cool to see guys there, like really old guys there in Letterman sweaters from like 1973. Their team this year in the regular season went 10-0. They said they had the last coach there to go 9-0 was there. He's 90 years old.
And my grandma went to that high school.
Yeah, he went to every single home game this year and he came to the rally last night. He's 90 years old. And so it was just nice to see like something positive. And the team was so appreciative and so excited about those rings. So that was awesome.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Bueno, what are you obsessed with?
Okay, so maybe not an obsession as much as an appreciation. Here's to all the home makers or the stay-at-home moms, because for the first week I've had no work, and I've had the children from 6 a.m. till 5 p.m., and I've done nothing but bake and cook and clean. And oh my gosh, congratulations to the people that do this on a daily basis, because no thank you at the end of the day is never fun. And you want to scream and you want to get mad. And what you have to do is go to bed, get up, and just do it again.
So, and you get on a podcast with your friends and drink a whole bottle of wine.
It's a total thank you to those moms that never got what they, and let me tell you this. I didn't have a dishwasher because the dishwasher broke. So a lot of the things were hand washed. And I don't know what people do without dishwashers.
I don't know.
They get married.
Back when ladies were ladies.
Back when ladies were feminine and men were men.
Yeah, their hands were dishwasher soapy. So it's an obsession with a thankfulness. And I think we need to all thank our parents at this time of Christmas, because we're at that point where they did a lot for us. And we have so much more technology now, thank God, where I have Alexa put on a timer. They had to actually know.
Yeah.
Mine's dumb. So my wife got me, I have an Xbox One. I only play two games on it. I'm pandering to the Dakotas. There's only two games that I play. It's any Batman game and any of the Assassin's Creed games. Okay. So my wife bought me the newest Assassin's Creed, and I find it so relaxing to play it because it's puzzles and like, I'm enjoying it so much that every night I'm like, you going to bed yet? You going to bed? Like, Because I play it for an hour after she goes to sleep, and I'm just, it's those small little pleasures in life that it doesn't take a lot to like make me, yeah. And I don't have to talk to anyone or answer to anyone, and it's just an hour every few days that I get to spend just doing something that relaxes me. And I just didn't realize how much, because I, like I said, I only play it when these like new games come out, and then I beat the game and then I don't play it anymore for however long till the next one comes out. So I'm really enjoying it. And I appreciate that she knows those are the things I enjoy and she gets them for me, even though it's something that will keep me up later or away from her or whatever. So I appreciate the game and the fact that she wants me to do things that bring me just even the smallest amount of joy.
Yeah, I like that.
Aww. How's everyone's wine?
Gone.
Gone.
Mine's good. I don't know about like the underbelly that makes it alluring, but it's definitely like, it's not a Monday. It doesn't taste like Monday. I would even venture to say it definitely tastes like a Thursday.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Friday Eve.
You don't get to say anything. Bueno, how's your wine?
My wine. Yes. Sofria or whatever it's called.
No, she doesn't get to comment on this fucking wine anymore. She's done.
We know you like it.
Wait, everyone knows you like it.
Of course, it's delicious, oddly, but then I'm half a bottle through, so I could say anything.
Anything would be good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stace?
It's weird how they start out okay and they wind up like, this is great.
We're real tough critics around here. More,
right? My chronic Sofa King Bueno is really good. I would definitely buy it again. It's more than just a cute label.
Oh. That doesn't happen often. All right, Stacey, you have 4 seconds. Tell us how your wine is.
So good, and I love it so much. I'm gonna drink it every day, and it's pink and it's bubbly.
Time's up. All right. Hey, everybody, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, woo. Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Holidays,
Happy Festivus,
Hanukkah, yeah, whatever.
All of the things. Happy. Celebrate holidays. However
happy
you
holidays.
Want. And if you hate the holidays, have a nice long weekend. Like, I don't know what else to tell you. We'll be back on next Friday. We're not taking a break for the holidays, because that's how much we appreciate you guys. We're doing an author interview next week, and we will get into it then. But until next time, when we're 81, can you believe it? I just can't believe how many. Yeah, next week we'll be at 81.
Man, now I feel like 81 is like an old man.
Yeah, we're like past our prime.
We've seen a lot of stuff. We hear it for.
Drink a lot of wine.
We've gotten better.
Yeah. Oh, aged like a fine wine. What?
Fancy.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.